Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, coming up later in the hour, we're going to get the latest from Montana's Attorney General Austin Knutson on the manhunt for the shooting suspect in Anaconda, which is, of course, getting national news headlines as well. So that manhunt is still underway, day four of that manhunt. The latest from Attorney General Austin Knutson later in the hour. Plus, I got a chance to catch up with an incredible organization, Love, Inc., of Lincoln County. That'll be coming up later this hour of the show as well. But first, let's start with some good news. Let's start with some exciting news and what happened right at the end of our show on Friday's Montana Talks. Oh, man, guys, this is incredible. So here we are. We're doing our show from the Governor's Cup Golf Tournament at Meadow Lake Golf Course here. And, of course, all our coverage brought to you by Tatanka Cigars. I've been trying to do an interview with this guy for a long time. Libby, Montana's own professional golfer. He just got back from, we call it the British Open. They call it the Open. Just back from the British Open. He's here in the Flathead today. Riggs Johnston, great to see you, and thanks for dropping by to see us.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me out. This is fun to do.
Yeah, so you're a Libby kid, and you're hitting the pro circuit. I know people all across the state were so excited to see you playing in the British Open. In fact, the owner of the course here at Meadow Lake, he said, I got up early just to watch you. You did good.
Yeah, it was quite the experience. And, you know, born and raised in Libby, so I had a lot of support from back home and kind of all over the state. So it was fun to represent Montana, you know, on that kind of level and be over in Europe and, you know, playing for everyone back home.
It's crazy, too, because you're competing against people that get to golf all year round. You know, if you live in Arizona or some of these places, you can golf all year round. A little harder to do that in places like Libby, Montana.
A little bit. You know, I think it helped me growing up. During the winters, I just put the golf clubs away and did basketball. You know, that was my thing. Played basketball through high school, and then I ended up going to Arizona State for college. So then I got the all year round type of experience. And, you know, growing up and not having it all year round, I think it helps not getting burnt out. So I was kind of ready to go when I finally did get the opportunity to play all year. Now it's a full year type of thing.
That's a really good point, because I've talked with, you know, people with kids, and they have kids that are really good athletes and really good at a certain sport. But, you know, when you do every camp and you do every travel league and every school team and everything, some kids just get burnt out and they don't want to do it anymore. It takes all the fun out of it.
Yeah, it does. Honestly, I've seen it a lot with some of the guys that I used to play junior golf with and even college with. At the end of the day, you got to enjoy what you do. So, you know, if you got to have your other things that you do outside of golf, then that's a good way to do it. And then when you finally get to golf again, you're ready to go and enjoy it.
So how old are you now, and what was it like playing in the British Open or just some of the other pro circuits? Like, when was the first time where you were like, holy cow, what am I doing? All right, and we'll get the answer from Libby's own Riggs Johnston coming up right after this. More to follow with pro golfer Riggs Johnston. By the way, next up on his tour, Trump International in Scotland. I wish I could make the trip. Heed punts now.
It's morning in Montana. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, back to our conversation with Libby pro golfer Riggs Johnston.
Yeah, I'm 25 now, so I spent 5 years in college because of COVID. Took kind of a redshirt type of year, so I just graduated last year, a little over a year ago. You know, being out there, I played up in Canada last summer because I got status there coming out of college, so it was fun. There's not a lot of money in that, but I got to play with a lot of the guys that I played in college with, and then went over to Europe and did Q school there and ended up making it through. And then, you know, second tournament in the Australian Open, got a win, and that was kind of when it finally hit me, like, I'm really out here now and going to be out here full time with some of the best players in the world, which is pretty cool.
I saw a really cool video somebody shared from the British Open. Your grandma, I think, got to travel. It was her first time traveling overseas to watch you play golf.
Yep. Yeah, that was one of the harder parts about, you know, playing on the DP World Tour is, you know, most of the tournaments are overseas. So she likes to come and watch. Her and my mom would go to almost every college event and watch, so that was kind of tough on them when they weren't able to go as often and watch. But it was a pretty cool experience for her and everyone, you know, to be able to go over there and watch me compete at probably one of the biggest tournaments there is.
When your grandma shows up, is she the caddy? Is she the coach? Is she the cheerleader? Is she your best critic or what?
She's kind of all the above. You know, she's out there just to support me and do whatever I need from her. And she's always got my back. And she's a bit of a legend out there in college. I would get every tournament, people would come up and ask, like, hey, is your grandma going to be here? Because she's in her 80s and, you know, walks all the courses. And we did 36 whole days in college, which is, you know, tough for even the players to walk, let alone grandmas. So she was quite the figure out there.
We got some great tough ladies here in Montana, don't we?
Yep.
Yeah. Anything, what would you want to tell folks across Montana about your family, about what got you into golf in the first place, or anything like that?
Yeah, well, my grandma's born and raised in Shelby, Montana, and dad's from Oregon, but moved to Montana quite a while ago, and they gave me a set of plastic clubs when I was a couple years old, and I loved them, and, you know, I wanted to hit real golf balls with them, so I kept breaking them, so they finally got me a little almost custom set of, you know, junior clubs, and I would sit out in the backyards for hours, and my dad would sit there in a lawn chair and just tee up ball after ball after ball and, you know, let me hit. And they just kind of, they didn't put any pressure on me to, you know, go practice or, you know, try to be great at the sport. They just made sure I had what I needed, and when I wanted to go play, they were always willing to take me up to the golf courses and take me to tournaments and everything. So they just have always supported me fully in whatever I wanted to do.
What are your favorite golf courses in Montana, or just favorite golf courses, period?
Yeah, my favorite golf course, period, is probably Rock Creek Cattle Company.
I've heard that's incredible.
It's a pretty cool place. I've played that a few times. That's an awesome spot. But I like all the courses in the Flathead Valley, and, you know, Libby's in great shape this year. I was just able to go back there and play a couple rounds with some of the folks back home, and, you know, just playing around the area with some friends, trying to get as many rounds in and see as many people that I grew up with as possible in my short time back home.
We did some events last summer, whether it was a big Trump rally in Bozeman, and then that we had Jim Jordan up here in the Flathead with Congressman Ryan Zinke, and Nick Faldo was there for both events. Well, he was at a later event, but it was kind of cool just as a kid, you know, everybody knew the name Nick Faldo, so
yeah.
it was kind of fun running into him, getting to meet him, and his wife was super nice, and you've gotten probably, is it, do you ever have, like, moments where now you're playing with some of these types of guys?
Yeah, you know, it's being out on tour and playing some of the tournaments that I'm in now. You know, there's always the chance to get a pairing with the number one player in the world, basically, at some of the events. Like, on Saturday at the British Open, when I made the cut, I got a pairing with Xander Schauffele, who won the British Open last year and is, I think, ranked number three in the world. So that was a pretty cool experience to be able to play with him and really see, like, how his game stacks up, and, you know, just know that I'm out there with the best players in the world.
Do you guys, like, have normal conversations while you're walking that, or is everybody in their own kind of element?
You know, it's a little bit of both sometimes. Xander and I talked a lot, I felt like, during the round. We laughed together, joked around, and he was an awesome guy. It made it a lot easier on me, you know, because it's quite a bit of pressure out there, but he was really relaxed and, you know, easy to talk to and super nice to me, so I was really grateful to him for that. It was cool.
The crew here with the Montana Chamber and here with Meadow Lake Golf Course, they just asked, hey, where are you off to next? This is really cool. You just came back from the British Open, and your next one is where?
In Scotland, yep. We're going to play Trump International in Aberdeen in Scotland, and that's kind of the first event of a long stretch of events over there. I think I have 7 weeks in a row or something like that. You know, around Europe, I think we go Scotland, Denmark, England, Switzerland, Ireland, France, and then I don't know after that. But yeah.
Wow, some incredible country and some beautiful courses at the same time. Kind of like being here in the Flathead, frankly.
Yeah, I wish they had more pro tournaments in Montana, but unfortunately there are none really yet.
Yeah. Well, if you ever need anybody to, you know, carry your bags or anything next time you're at Rock Creek, or just call me up. I'm happy to help. You know, we'll have to do another radio show again one of these days, too.
Yeah, this is fun. I enjoy doing this stuff, and I enjoy, you know, spending time with just people around Montana.
You're hitting a course in Whitefish here, as we talked to here on this Friday. You're hitting one later today. Anything you want to tell folks all across Montana, Riggs Johnston?
Yeah, I'm grateful for all the support that I get around the state. You know, I get a lot of messages, you know, every week about people that I may or may not know, but they're from Montana, and they see my name and see where I'm from, and they are immediate fans. And, you know, it's a pretty cool experience to be a part of that and, you know, have that kind of support all over the state.
That's the thing about Montana. If there's a Montana kid, we're all going to rally behind that Montana kid. It's Team Montana.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. That's why I'll love Montana until the day I die.
Awesome. Well, great to see you. Thanks so much for dropping in.
Of course. Appreciate you having me.
This cover to you by Tatanka Cigars.
All right. Coming up after the break, incredible conversation with Love, Inc., an organization called Love, Inc., Love in the Name of Christ, out of South Lincoln County in Libby. They made the trip over as well. So glad we got to see them in person. But it really turned into a bigger conversation about the importance of our timber industry and mining and more. Stand by. Wait till you hear this one next, and then we'll have the Attorney General later. Did you know?
Big topics. Big ideas. Big sky. Montana Talks.
Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. Yeah, we are set up here at Meadow Lake Golf Course in Columbia Falls for the Governor's Cup, a golf tournament here by the Montana Chamber of Commerce. And big thanks to our friends with Tatanka Cigars for sponsoring our coverage here from the Governor's Cup. But hey, while we're, you know, doing our show out here on the road from Northwest Montana, I saw some really cool news. Maybe a month or two ago, it was about an organization called Love, Inc., Love in the Name of Christ, and I've been familiar with some of the really good work that they do elsewhere across Montana, but I saw that they now have Love, Inc. in Lincoln County, Montana, Love, Inc. in Northwest Montana, and so I was very excited to see that, and Lisa Goodman made the drive over from Libby this morning. Lisa is the executive director for Love, Inc. in South Lincoln County. Great to see you, Lisa.
Thanks for having me on your show, Aaron.
Yeah, so Love, Inc., when I think of Love, Inc., I think of if there's people that have a need, whatever that random need might be, you just figure out a way to meet that need. Is that a good description, or give us a better description?
That's a great description. My son said it this way, and it's not a great description, but I'll add to it. He said, "So, Mom, basically, you're a dating service." I said, "What?" He said, "You people who have a need, you match them with those who want to meet the need." And we are working together as churches in community together to really be the hands and feet of Christ in a joint effort that walks along with people through their needs. The handout system has been happening for about five generations, where people have a need, they just show up, we give them gas, they go on their way. And they've been doing this for generations now. It's created a generational poverty mentality in all of our communities. Love, Inc. capitalizes on relationship. And so instead of just giving out what need they think they want, we get to know people and find out more of what the true needs are. And then we look for ways that we can build relationship. We can build the value and the potential in the people we walk with to help them find transformation in their lives.
Yeah, it's interesting because a lot of people, they want to help. And they know that if you're a person of faith, you're called to help those in need, right?
Yes.
But yet you drive down the street and you see somebody with a sign, please help, need this, need that. A lot of times those are scam artists. So by giving people money, you're not necessarily helping them. And then I had another friend say it another way. Sometimes loving this person means, yes, giving them money to help out in a rough situation. But for another person, giving them money is not a way to love them, because they're just going to use that to go buy drugs or whatever else and go further down the path of destruction. So you guys are doing the vetting to figure out what's the best way to provide help and to love people in your community.
Yeah, Love, Inc. is part of a national movement. There are over 120 Love, Inc.'s across the nation, and there are 11 in Kenya. And
wow.
So it began in the 70s with one individual who was thinking, just like you said, there has to be a better way. And he said, God really just, Virgil is his name, and God spoke to his heart and said, this is a church problem. This is a church helping. This is not you doing all the work. And so it was really established that churches would work together to find out what needs are. We don't give money. We don't give vouchers. But we do make connections to ministries, churches, volunteers, and community services that walk with people. And then we come back around and call them, and we find out how it went. And then we begin offering classes, and then we begin walking long term. So you're right, the quick handout of money very rarely changes a person's life.
So recently we had my cousin, who's a pastor of Cross Kingdom Church down in Kerrville, Texas. And after the devastating floods went through Texas Hill Country, he woke up to, you know, dozens of missed phone calls because chaos had just struck and, you know, people lost their lives. These young girls at the church camp down the road lost their lives and people are in need. And he said something interesting because we had him on the show recently. You know, after all the news cameras went away and all the national attention went away, we wanted to have him on to talk about what they still need down there. And they're basically doing what Love Inc. is doing, which is they're having people provide donations, whether it's cash or items. And then as those needs come up, they meet those needs. And he said something interesting. He said he believes that it's not the government's job to do this. He said, nothing against the government. When the government does this stuff, they're thankful for flood relief, et cetera. He says, but it is our job as the church to do this and as Christians to do this. And I thought that was a very compelling point that he made.
It is interesting. I really believe my favorite part about Love Inc. is the church. I love the church and the church at large, capital C. What if we became a community where the churches stepped in to help people and build relationship and be the hands and feet with Christ, ended the territory war of who has the best ministry, of who's going to fight over what type of help we give, and actually work together to help people when they need it? I think we'd find a whole new way of living. I think we'd find hope and healing.
Well, and then you have somebody else kind of handling the vetting, too, and handling a lot of the logistics as well. It was really cool. I heard about this expansion into, you know, Lincoln County and into northwest Montana through a press release from Denise Saprinsky with the Gianforte Family Foundation.
Yes.
So kind of fun here seeing both Greg and Susan Gianforte and what their foundation, because they fund so many organizations, and they really never get the credit for all of these incredible organizations that their family foundation provides funds for all across. But I'm sure, you know, Lincoln County, you just have some incredible donors and supporters, et cetera. Talk about the need in Lincoln County and in Libby, Montana. You know, I just saw our friend Jesse Ramos from Americans for Prosperity. We did an event at a grocery store there back in October highlighting inflation. And we had like 40 people lined up just to get a gift card to go to the grocery store. That told me that, like, hey, with the timber industry being hit hard over the years, with these mines not being up and running, everyday Montanans need those economic opportunities, or they wouldn't need, you know, a lot of this help right now.
Yeah.
But so it sounds like the struggle is real, the needs are real.
I could talk about this for a long time, but I won't. My husband and I have lived in Lincoln County now for 21 years. We've also lived in Circle, Montana.
Really?
For 4 years. And I grew up in Hamilton. My husband grew up right here in Columbia Falls.
And he's now the superintendent of schools.
He is the superintendent of schools. And he would love to visit with you sometime in the future, I'm sure. But what we have noticed is that poverty looks beautiful when it's green. People drive into our community and they don't see the poverty. They see how beautiful and green the mountains are. When my husband and I are in the mountains getting wood, going hiking, getting huckleberries, we step out of like 2 feet away from our car and we're in dead forest because it hasn't been managed. And the same is true with many of our people of Lincoln County. It looks very pretty on the outside, but you take about 2 feet off, take another road, and you're going to see the poverty that people are living in that has been generational. Homelessness is a huge issue. We are number two for unemployment in the state, and our school systems receive the same grants that our Indian reservations do. They call it white reservation.
Wow.
We have, of course, the asbestos cleanup that happened in Lincoln County.
Yeah.
And what we are beginning to see is hope and restoration and healing. We're seeing new jobs developing. We have several people who were homeless coming through this last week. We had two men homeless in their 50s. We've helped women in their 70s who are homeless. We have a homeless lady who's 70 right now, and we're helping walk with her as she's looking for a place to live, to rent. But the economic situation in the community is not helping people in their thriving.
Yeah, because you get all this wealth that comes in, you know, people that have fled other states, so they move in for the beauty and to flee other states and what's going on in other states. And that's good for the economy, right, because they bring that wealth and they spend that money in these communities. It's good for existing businesses and establishments. But what does it do for everyday people that are struggling? That's why, you know, my perspective, my opinion, is why we need these mines up and running. It's why we need our timber industry great again, because that's what provides opportunities for every day-to-day people. And so the economic numbers are good, like you say, but then you get a couple more feet in and you realize, wait a minute, there's this whole group of people, many of whom lived here, grew up here, are multi-generational, that need the opportunities in the woods and they need the opportunities in the mines.
Yes. One of the things that we're finding is that many of the volunteers who are really excited to get in and help with Loving, to serve in our connection center, to go help move garbage, to pick people up for appointments, all of the things Loving can do, are some of those who are moving into our community and are joining forces with us because they're retired, but they still have a heart to give and to serve. And so they're becoming some of our best volunteers.
That is fascinating to hear, and very, very good to hear too, because a lot of these people, like you say, what we've seen with a lot of the population influx in the last few years are people that are retired or nearing retirement. That's why we haven't seen the big boom in younger, in children and families with kids, because a lot of the people that have moved in they're retired, so they have the ability to say, okay, I'm getting the heck out of California, I'm getting the heck out of Washington, I'm getting the heck out of Oregon. But they're oftentimes people who share our values, who share our faith, and they not only have the desire to give, they have the ability to give financially or with their time.
Yeah.
And so that's really uplifting to hear that they're saying, hey, we moved here for the view, but we want to help the people that are here as well.
Yeah, so. Which is really, it's a really great heart.
Yeah. So, well, Lisa Goodman, so great to see you. Lisa is the executive director for Love, Inc., Love in the Name of Christ for South Lincoln County. If people want to donate with their time or with their financial resources right now, What can they do?
Okay. First of all, every community in Montana needs a Love, Inc. I don't care if it's one of the small communities like I lived in Circle, Montana, or if it's a large city like Bozeman, who has a very strong Love, Inc. Billings has a strong Love, Inc. Lewistown, we're the new kids on the block. We are building a strong Love, Inc.
There's a new one in Lewistown.
Lewistown has a Love, Inc.
They've got one, yeah.
To be a part of Love, Inc., I encourage people, go to the national website if you're interested in starting a Love, Inc. In your community.
There's about 30 more seconds to go here where she gives out the website, et cetera, so I'll play that and get to the Attorney General now.
This is where Montana Talks Ag with Lane Nordlund.
President Trump announced another series of recent trade deals, this time with the Republic of South Korea. He says the deal amounts to an investment of $350 billion in U.S. goods, which includes agricultural products. South Korea will also purchase an additional $100 billion in liquefied natural gas and other energy products. President Trump says U.S. goods will be traded with South Korea at a zero tariff rate, while South Korea will pay a 15% tariff on U.S. goods. The U.S. Grains Council says that Korea is the fifth largest trading partner in U.S. grains in all forms, with sales totaling $4.07 billion in the 2023 through 24 marketing year. Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins says the U.S. Forest Service is investing over $106 million to support state and landowner efforts to conserve private working forest lands across the country. Funded through the Forest Legacy Program, the projects will protect forests vital to economic and social fabric of local communities, ensuring they remain productive working forests for Americans and tourists to use and enjoy. She says, just like farms and ranches, working forests are a part of the backbone of rural America, providing jobs, timber, clean water, and places for families to hunt, fish, camp, hike, and make lifelong memories. That's a look at today's Ag News. I'm Lane Nordlund. Have a great day.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right, just about another 90 seconds or so here with Lisa Goodman, the executive director of Love, Inc. in South Lincoln County, because, she's encouraging folks across the state to set up a chapter in your neck of the woods.
Go to the national website if you're interested in starting a Love, Inc. In your community. They are fantastic to help build what needs to happen for community among the churches to serve people. For Love, Inc. of South Lincoln County, I don't know why we started as South Lincoln County, because I think it's because the road is too long going to Eureka. But someday we'll just be Lincoln County.
What a beautiful road that is, though. What a beautiful road that is, though. Yeah, we've got some great listeners in Eureka.
Yes, and we love Eureka. We don't want to leave you out. if you're a church in Eureka and you want to participate with Lincoln County, South Lincoln County, please contact me.
Satellite campus. There you go.
We'll just hook you right in. But we have a website, Love, Inc. of South Lincoln County, that you can visit, and that will give you connections to give me a call to give can we start that part over if you're going to have to write it
you're good.
But, go to our website at South Lincoln County, Love, Inc. South Lincoln County, and you can find our connections for volunteering, for giving donations, for getting involved.
Perfect. Well, Lisa, great to see you. Thanks for making the drive over. This was a ton of fun.
Such a privilege.
You got one of your great volunteers here, Lena, with you as well, so thanks to her for making the trip as well.
Thank you so much for this opportunity.
All right, and I'll get a story on our Montana Talks website, too, to share their website, et cetera, because I know what's going to happen is later today somebody's going to be like, hey, what was that group? Hey, what's that website? So I'll get it on the Montana Talks website, so you got it right there and you can share it with your friends. Okay, well, now let's get into the tough news. I'm sure everybody's heard by now about the horrific shooting at the Owl Bar in Anaconda later in the morning on Friday. This was the update. I just sent a message to the Attorney General's office here in Montana to see if there's any new updates. But this was the Fox News radio update last night. And as far as I know, this information is still up to date.
Montana Attorney General Austin Knutson said three patrons of the Owl Bar in Anaconda, David Leach, Daniel Bailey, and Tony Palm, as well as the bartender Nancy Kelly, were shot and killed. He said the suspected gunman, Michael Paul Brown, seen unclothed in a surveillance photo, is still not in custody and may have access to clothes and a car.
The vehicle he ended up grabbing was loaded full of equipment. It was not his vehicle. It was a stolen vehicle, but there was camping equipment in it. We believe there was some clothing in it.
Brown's family said the Army veteran struggled for years with mental illness. He's considered dangerous. Events in the area have been canceled as the search goes on. Grinnell Scott, Fox News.
All right, and then here we go. Here's my conversation earlier this morning with Montana's Attorney General Austin Knutson.
Good morning, Aaron. What I want folks to know is that this has been just a tremendous law enforcement response in Anaconda. I was down there for most of the day yesterday into the night. Well over 250 individuals from different agencies, not just across the state, across the counties, but we had a large federal presence there. The FBI and their tactical team was there. Big help. National Guard had helos in the air. I want to thank Two Bear Air from up in Kalispell. Two Bear Air came down last night, and they were flying their helicopter with thermal equipment on board to look for this individual in the dark. So we are absolutely throwing every resource we have at capturing Michael Paul Brown. We had a couple of promising sightings yesterday. We got a pretty good idea. We think we know where he is, but unfortunately he was able to slip us several times yesterday.
Yeah, I know the U.S. Marshals Service is offering a reward of $7,500 for any information that leads to the arrest or capture of Michael Brown, this suspect here. We've got the photograph of the suspect as he was fleeing the Owl Bar in Anaconda on our Montana Talks website right now. Any areas that people, I know, well, first off, just how are our friends in Anaconda doing? I know the whole community was on edge, and, of course, even on up to Georgetown Lake, where a lot of people were probably camping and boating and enjoying the weekend, and some businesses had to shut down apparently as well.
Yeah, you know, it was interesting, Aaron. Last night at about 5 o'clock, I ran down the hill. We went to Peppermint Patties and had a burger. The amount of support coming from across the country is just stunning. I was talking to the owners of Peppermint Patties right there on the east edge of town. They've got donations coming in from across the country, and it's to feed law enforcement. They literally sent me back up to the command center with almost a dozen hamburgers just to feed officers. So the local outpouring of support, the national outpouring of support has been just fantastic. But yeah, look, I was talking to those same folks, and they said several of their employees didn't come into work that day because they're concerned about safety. I know that it was tough to find a restaurant that was working yesterday. Now, I know it was Sunday, but this is definitely having an effect on the town of Anaconda.
Yeah, so at this point, you do still believe that the suspect is alive. Are there any places where people should be particularly on the lookout? Any idea which direction he may have gone?
Well, we're focused on the area directly west of Anaconda, up in the mountain. It's not even that far up the mountain. He staffs the vehicle that he took, abandoned it up Stumptown Road. If you're from the area, you know where that's at. It's not far outside of town. We believe he's still relatively close in that area. Now, look, I had to pull out last night. I don't know what transpired over the night and into the wee hours. I was still kicking going at about 1:30 this morning, but as of then, I have not had any update that things had changed. So we believe he's in that area, just west of town. Again, a couple credible sightings. I said several a few minutes ago. That's not accurate. I haven't had enough coffee yet this morning. But we did have a couple of credible sightings by law enforcement. But look, that's tough country over there. It's incredibly dense. The undergrowth, the trees, you know, a lot of keyboard warriors that are talking about, oh, well, why didn't they just? Why haven't they just? Folks, we are putting every asset at our disposal up there. We've got canine teams up there. We've got infrared up in the air. That canopy and that cover and that undergrowth is so thick. That the thinking was, I mean, we're almost literally going to have to step on him to get him to come out. Again, did have a couple credible sightings yesterday. We do believe he's still there. I personally spoke to one of the Eastern Montana Sheriff deputies who came all the way over from Petroleum County. But he had a very, very credible sighting, but was in such thick cover down there that he didn't have an opportunity to engage. But in any case, we think he's still right there close in that area.
Interesting. I saw the Montana Television Network had a story where the family of the shooting suspect who shot and killed four people at the Owl Bar in Anaconda, and there's surveillance video or a photo of that, and he's basically walking out in his underwear, in his boxers, and no shoes, not even carrying a gun or anything. But they're saying that apparently he suffered significant mental health challenges, including schizophrenia, and so that's, which I'm sure adds a whole nother layer to this equation.
It does, Aaron. Yeah, so I mean, those reports are not quite accurate. He was clothed when he came into the Owl Bar at about it wasn't quite 10:40 in the morning on Friday. We do know he was known to those folks. He lived literally right next door to the Owl Bar. That's where his residence is. Sounds like most people around town knew this guy. No, you know, he's a known commodity. After he committed the murders, he was able to get down an alley, get into another building within the vicinity. And at that time, he ditched his clothes and tried to escape, and that's where he stole the vehicle. But that's where that photograph you've seen floating around on the internet came from. That was him fleeing out the back door of a residence after he ditched his clothing. We do believe he was able to reclothe himself in the vehicle that he took. There was a brief pursuit by law enforcement. Unfortunately, there were a couple of identical vehicles, and with all the dust and the dirt roads, the law enforcement weren't quite sure which one was him. So briefly lost him, but he was quickly reengaged and got up in that Stumptown Road area. But, yeah, listen, the mental health aspect, I'm obviously, you and I have known each other for a lot of years, Aaron. I know you're a veteran. Mental health and PTSD is certainly something we're sympathetic about. But look, I know a lot of veterans who don't walk into an establishment at 10 o'clock in the morning and mercilessly and in cold blood murder four people who are having their morning coffee.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is just a horse of an entirely different color.
Well, and that's why you wonder, okay, was this a schizophrenic episode or any idea what the, nothing could justify what he did, but obviously, but this senseless violence and, but what could the motive be? All right, well, hold it right there. Back after the break.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we'll get to your phone calls here in just a second. We've got Ron and Ronan on the phone lines, plus Brian in Billings weighing in on a couple of different topics. Real quick, though, here's what Attorney General Austin Knutson had to say, you know, in terms of obviously right now the focus is on the manhunt and tracking down this suspect who killed four people at the Owl Bar in Anaconda. As far as any indicators on a motive, it sounds like they do not have one yet.
We don't know a motive yet, Aaron. We just don't know these things yet. We do know this individual. There are some history of drug use. Just from my time as a prosecutor, and this is entirely speculative, but you know, I think it's likely he's under the influence of something. I can tell you, just again from my own experience, people on methamphetamine do crazy things, and yes, it can trigger some schizophrenic episodes. I have personally seen that individual that I've prosecuted, but that's speculation on my part. We cannot confirm that. We don't know what this individual had in his system, if he had anything. We don't know what he was able to take up on the mountain with him, or if he still has access to drugs, if he's using them up there. We don't know the answers to these questions yet.
All right, and there I did see also a news story that was just filed, I think, by the Montana Television Network. They are operating under the assumption that they believe the suspect is still alive, but of course, he may not be, is the other angle to this as well. Okay, let's get into the phone lines. Ron in Ronan. Ron, thanks for the call. What did you want to weigh in on this morning?
Aaron, thank you for taking the call. I just heard a commercial on the station out of Missoula earlier, and it was about a public relations broadcast informing us about the Yellowstone, the Greater Yellowstone Coalition, which will put the Prairie Preserve thing in a grade school type area. We're looking at the entire southwestern portion of Montana, all the tributaries that flow into the Missouri will be involved in this land grab. And this has been going on since Deb Haaland and Tracy Stone Manning were in charge with this thing. They even went so far as to say maybe we could manage this as part of the U.S. park system and the Yellowstone coalition type thing.
Mm.
I would suggest that they do have a website. It's called the Greater Yellowstone Coalition, and it's easy to get to, and I would suggest that people educate themselves, because all of the tributaries that flow into the Missouri would be affected in southwestern Montana.
Yeah, the Greater Yellowstone Coalition, we know the history kind of with Ted Turner and some of these radical environmental groups.
Incidentally, I used to ranch in Alder, which is just south of Sheridan.
Interesting.
So I know So I know that area quite well.
You know the land well. Yeah, well, thanks for putting that on our radar. I haven't heard that GYC message in particular. So if you end up tracking it down or getting more information, or maybe one of our listeners can, send me that particular advertisement or commercial that you heard on the Missoula station, or maybe I can check with our team and see what it might have been. Because, yeah, I want to find out more about that one in particular. Thanks for the call, Ron and Ronan. Let's go to Brian in Billings. Brian, what's your thoughts on this situation in Anaconda?
Good morning. I grew up in Hamilton, Montana, and one of the things that's not well known about that area is it's riddled with abandoned mines that go for miles. And there are local hobbyists that know where those entrances are. They explore them. They go down deep into them, and they know them really well. When I was a kid, that was kind of something to do there on Scalcahole Pass. And, he very well could be in one of those.
Interesting. So, yeah, maybe that's a useful tip for law enforcement. Yeah, because they've had, I know, like the AG mentioned, they had Two Bear Air, which has thermal imagery. They do really good, helpful work for search and rescue, or search and locate in this case. But, yeah, but if he's hiding out in one of those abandoned mines, obviously that would not pick it up. But and just the thickness of the underbrush, which is another reminder of how unhealthy our forests are, right?
Right. He's probably 100 feet underground.
Or just the thickness of the brush is so thick that it's just hard for them to get in there.
And many of these mines, the entrances are deep in the forest.
Yeah,
I mean, I've been there, I've seen them, I've been in them. That's historical place where all those mines were, where they had all those Chinese immigrants there working in those mines. That's all laid out at the museum there in Deer Lodge, and you can read about
that. immigrants from everywhere, right? Yeah, and that was back in the day when there was just mining kind of going on everywhere, unregulated, all across the hillside, before kind of modern-day mining took place and more formalized, more protective of the environment, et cetera. Yeah, interesting.
Well, all over those mountains.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Well, Brian, thanks for the call. Yeah, if law enforcement or search teams haven't considered that one yet, find an old prospector or two or a hobbyist that could help navigate you to where those key tunnel locations are. All right, thanks for the call. Appreciate your time this morning. All right, we'll stay on top of that story for you and be back with you with Tuesday's Montana Talks. And I think John Jackson will be in the house with us.